Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and Moose with you here on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio, as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender at Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, make sure to go out there mortgage confidently. You've got Mike and Pete across the way, Andrew with your updates. We've got a great 1v1 coming your way later on this hour, so look forward to that. We're going to look ahead to Championship Sunday, the AFC title game today on this Tuesday, and focus in on the two-star quarterbacks, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback the NFL has ever seen, going up against what is going to be the MVP of the National Football League in 2018, Mr. 50 touchdown passes, and that is the young signal caller for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that is the great Patrick Mahomes. So we've got that 1v1 coming your way later on. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz the Moose, at Mark Malusis, at Official Taz. A couple ways you can go about doing that. Top of the third hour. Let's get to it. The three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Kyler Murray declares for the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's interesting. We discussed this earlier on in the program. It's going to be fascinating. Now, he's got 72 hours to pull his name out of the hat. We know he met with the Athletics over the course of the weekend. Money was not discussed. But the A's wanted to get a feel from him about what it would take for Kyler Murray to commit to playing baseball. First round pick, got a $4.6 million signing bonus upon being that selection coming out of Oklahoma. The Athletics did agree upon signing that deal that he could play 1 year of football at Oklahoma before committing himself to being a baseball player. We know that has all changed. Had a great year, went to the national semifinals, wins a Heisman Trophy. Had an unbelievable season, even at just 5'9". And the question is, does his game translate to the National Football League? Did get a first-round grade from NFL talent evaluators, Taz. There's a lot of twists that this story still has to tell. I think you got to find out exactly where his passion does lie. Does it be the quarterback in the NFL and trying that avenue? Is it being a baseball player? At one point in time, he said, I'm a baseball player. As he was having the success at Oklahoma, and now that has all changed because maybe he thought at that stage he was maybe a little too small to be an NFL quarterback. But that conversation has changed. Now he's put his name in the hat, announced it on social media. It'll be fascinating. Certainly the NFL draft is a lot more interesting with Kyler Murray being a part of it, a point we made yesterday.
Absolutely. You know, it does make the draft more intriguing, more exciting, more entertaining for sure. You know, if Murray, once Murray's in that thing there, you know, man, because here's the thing, like, this kid's 21 years old, so he's got some insane options here, and he's already got paid a little bit, you know, not a lot of it, I should say, over $4 million from the Oakland A's. You know, and the thing is, like I was saying earlier, I think it's tough for Kyler Murray because he's young, he's trying to figure it out, even though he put that tweet out. He's from a generation that they want things now, and that's how these people at this age, for the most part, just a stereotype for a second, they want things now. And I do think he's used to fame. Kyler Murray is he's got the Heisman Trophy, he's top dog at Oklahoma football. You know the success the Oklahoma football program had this year in the Final Four and all that jazz. You know the playoff, you know, and everything. So he's been the hood ornament of that team. Now, to go into MLB minor league system obscurity for a couple of years, I think that'd be tough for him to deal with. I think he's thinking about that. I think he's thinking, hey, man, I've been told I can't do stuff my whole life because I'm 5'9". So you're telling me I can't be an NFL football player. You're telling me I can't be an NFL quarterback. Or you're telling me I can't be successful at it. Well, I'm going to shut everybody up, and I'm going to keep my fame while I'm at it. I'm going to get paid, too. And you know what? That's what he could be thinking. And I look at Kyler Murray as a guy, yeah, he don't have the height of all the quarterbacks. I don't look at him. I know a lot of people will say, you know, he's small. I don't. Me as an undersized athlete, I can relate to him, to this kid. And I never looked. I don't look at him as being small. He's just not tall. He's a thick, muscular kid. To me, it's semantics, yeah, but it's important. I remember people saying, "Oh, dude, you're not a big wrestler. You're small." Well, I'm 250 pounds. I was 5'8", but I'm I wasn't small.
Yeah, he's just not tall.
He's not tall,
but he's a small athlete.
He's a muscular kid.
He's not as broad as Mayfield.
I wouldn't consider him small. You're right what you said about Mayfield.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
We discussed this earlier in the year, and we were in agreement in terms of him not being as broad-shouldered, as thick. He's a small guy. I mean, he just is. I mean, he can throw it. He's got an unbelievable athletic ability, and you have to see if his game does translate at 5'9". I mean, that's really what it comes down to for the National Football League. You know, I just don't look at him as being that kind of a... No, he reminds me a little bit more of the stature and a smaller, in essence, of a Johnny Manziel. Manziel wasn't as broad-shouldered as, say, a Mayfield is. Manziel was a little smaller in stature. Not saying he can't do it. It just, it is what it is. He is physically what he can do and what he can't do as an athlete.
I think it depends, too. I mean, I know it's not as far as the small thing, he is... You know, they list him as 5'11", 194, but he's 5'9". He's 5'9", but he is about 190-ish. So, I don't know. I don't consider him, compared to most athletes, a small guy. I just don't.
We can agree to disagree.
That's fine. I mean, that's not the point. The point is, what is he going to do? That's what you're saying, and you're right. Like, what is he going to do? Is he going to play football? What does he want to do, I should say? What's his heart? What's his heart want to do? What's his passion? He might be torn. But what I'm saying is, I do think that if he chooses the baseball route, he's going to have to, his fame and his popularity will be put on hold for a little while. It will. I mean, because he's not going to be jettisoned right to the Oakland A's roster. He's not going to be in the clubhouse with the A's. He's going to be playing for the Snappers, the single A team, or one of the other single A teams, one of the other minor league teams, I should say, for the A's. Whatever. I mean, I don't know. I just got my gut tells me he's going. He's going to go in the draft, and he's going to be an NFL player, and he's going to give us a shot.
Yeah, I mean, Deion Sanders last night. I saw him make the statement saying that, and he did both sports, saying he'd go to baseball and wouldn't even bat an eye, and don't even look back. Don't go to the National Football League. You might be right. I mean, it's certainly right now, if you're going to favor a lean, it would be the National Football League.
Yeah.
Because that's where all signs are pointing toward it, and it's gained more and more momentum to that. Maybe there's another twist and another turn to this story. We'll be here to cover it on Taz and the Moose right here on CBS Sports Radio. But intriguing, he had a deadline yesterday. Doesn't mean that it's the final deadline, but he did declare himself eligible for the NFL draft. We'll see exactly where the next twist of this story is.
Number two.
Jets head coach Adam Gase and his eyes.
Yes, I mean, the Jets had an introductory press conference. Let's hear from the former Dolphins head coach and current Jet head coach yesterday as he got introduced by Gangreen.
I'm excited to get going. I know it's a ways away before we get players in here, but you can feel the energy in the building. Today's been a great day. And really, at the end of the day, we're here for one reason. Our process started a couple days ago, and we'll see what it brings to us. This is really the first time I've been able to get with a guy this young, this early in his career. You know, we're going into year two, and I mean, he's hungry for knowledge. He wants to be coached, which when you have a type of player that does have the physical traits, this is an exciting thing for me to go through.
Yeah, so not exactly inspiring words from Adam Gase. Wasn't inspiring words from acting owner Chris Johnson. As well, it was a presser that lasted all of about 19 minutes. You didn't get a full gamut of tough, hard-hitting questions about what went wrong down in Miami. I think Gase did a little bit better of a job on his one-on-ones than as compared to the introductory presser. But really, what stole the show, Taz, was his eyes.
Yeah, it was very
odd. This kind of like freaked out eye look that you got over and over and over again. Throughout the course of the presser. We tweeted out the video that someone put together
of
his eyes following the taco.
I didn't know we put it out there. Yes. If you didn't see the taco, then go to at Taz and the Moose on Twitter. It's hysterical. It's riveting. You can't stop watching. It's unbelievable what this photoshopped. It's After Effects, they call it. That's how they put that taco one in. It's floating around his eyeballs.
Yeah.
He's just watching. It's
very
insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Silva, John Silva, Mike Silva, Nick
Mike,
Silva.
Mike
Silva, NFL Network. I was close. I figured I'd get one.
You got it first time.
Okay. Yeah, he was talking. I saw him yesterday on NFL Network, and he was talking that he knows Adam Gase. And he said that he always gazes Adam Gase. He knows him well. He's been in his home. He gazes in the home, and the Gase home is gazing. So there's a lot of gazing for my Gase. So, I mean, Coach Gase. So the thing is, like, this guy's his friend. He says he knows him. He says he does this sometimes. Maybe it's like you said earlier. Maybe it's a nervous tick. Maybe it's something that he just does. Maybe he's just a freaking weirdo. I don't know what it is, right? But all I know is if he's doing this in the quarterback, in the film room, the team will have a lot of fun at his expense. And I did say earlier, I do think veteran players, the first time they get together for workouts in the offseason, the veteran players should bring a box of tacos and put it in the coach's office as a joke. Give it to him, like, to, you know, just to break that tension.
Yeah, poke fun at him a little bit.
And I'm sure he would laugh and have a good time.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of a personality. Didn't show much of it yesterday. Intense guy, very confident guy. Peyton Manning is a big supporter of Adam Gase. You know, it's the mocking of his stare certainly exploded on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
It was trending all throughout the day and into the evening, into the early morning hours, and people mocking him out.
Think about Bumus.
The results will dictate. If he wins, people will forget all about what his stare is like.
Bumus, like Todd Bowles, right? Former head coach of the Jets for how many years? 5 years? Four years? Six? Whatever it was.
No, 4 years.
4 years, right? Here's the thing, right? He was not exactly riveting in these freaking press conferences. Okay, he didn't do the crazy thing with his eyes, but the guy was like, it was like watching paint dry. Listen to this guy talk.
But they won. If they win, nobody cares.
No, but I'm talking about the personality. See,
sure.
Belichick, he has mastered this. The lack of personality, that's his gimmick, and he knows how to work his gimmick. So it's different. Belichick is boring. I'm not expecting everybody to be Pete Carroll out there, that they're going to entertain you, or Herm Edwards. He was the best at the presses. The best.
No, he was.
I love Herm Edwards.
He was very good, but the act wears thin. Rex Ryan owned a room.
That's true.
You don't win, nobody cares.
No, I know.
You look like a buffoon.
I'm not talking about winning. I'm just talking about the entertainment of it. Like
sure. No, I understand the point that you're making. But my point is that we all get caught up in, and I defended Bowles during his days as Jet head coach because if he won, people wouldn't care.
I know.
People don't care about Belichick. He wins.
I know.
If you go up there and you're basically like cracking jokes, you're Artie Lang up there, ripping off jokes left and right and one-liners and saying, how the weekend went and everything like that. You know, if your team loses 37-3, the fan bases basically want to drive you right out of town.
I know. I've been a fan of two teams that Rex Ryan was a coach of.
Yes, and he's a buffoon.
I know, he's a jobber.
And his act wore thin. Rex Ryan, nobody in the NFL has any interest in hiring Rex Ryan.
Stinks on TV, too.
And he's dying to get back into the NFL because they know it's all basically a dog and pony show.
He stinks on TV. He stinks on TV. Brings nothing to
the table. He'll tell you, I went to two AFC championship games. Two AFC championship games. Two AFC.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's like, all right, enough.
Sick of him. Sick of all these guys. Yeah, but I want to be entertained a little bit in the presser. I mean, Nick Saban's great because at any moment, now that's a guy who wins, obviously, but at any moment, you know he could snap. That kind of tension that he brings to the presser, to me, that's gold. With Dabo Sweeney, he's just funny. You know, he's a funny guy. You know, he's got a lot of charisma. So I just think the press conferences are important, especially for what we do. You know,
You know what?
So you
root for Saban to crack out douche mode?
No. I think it's funny
when he acts like a complaint. When Sean Payton's calling out a Philly reporter last week for asking a question about that he didn't deem to be a necessary question.
How about Matt Patricia when he told the guy to sit up straight when he's talking to him?
Yeah, like that's being a douche.
It is being a douche, but it's funny.
Six games. But here's the other. But what's comical is Zimmer.
Oh, Heel Jones. Yeah,
right.
Remember
Zimmer
that?
When
yeah,
he came out. Right, and then he's pleading for his job at the end of the year.
I know. Palmer Jones. That's
right.
Palmer.
Basically on both knees, begging that he doesn't get fired.
Tweet that.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, come on. Beat the bodies on playing games.
Right. It's all Mr. Tough Guy when you're winning. Then when you're losing, it's like, what?
It's just saying, like, the comparison between...
Yes, there is no comparison.
But with Pat Shurmur. So here in New York, you got Shurmur of the Giants. He's not exactly, like, you know, a guy full of hits and giggles at the podium.
No.
And, you know, he's really not that entertaining of a cat. And now you got this guy here, Adam Gase. So this is going to be like in the number one market in the world here. And you're going to have two boring press conferences. But if the Jets and Giants are winning, then their fan base will be happy.
But if they go win, if the Jets win 11 games next year and go to the postseason, if for the Jet fan, Gase can bore them all day.
With his eyeballs flying out like his head.
I always had eyes for you, baby.
Wear the hat down. It doesn't matter. Shurmur, the same thing.
I know.
So you only get entertained with the presser when your team stinks. So and they're deflecting.
I like McDermott.
Let's work the room here a little bit. What do you got going on this weekend over there? Your team got lit up like a Christmas tree. We'll get to the game here momentarily.
Bob, nice tie.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
I made a beautiful tenderloin this weekend. I heard this great joke. Do you ever watch? I was watching some old Rodney Dangerfield this weekend. You ever do that?
Sometimes I'll tell you.
It's a little distracting. No respect. Work the tie. The room. Right. Anyway, next.
Number three.
Zion Williamson's 35, not enough, and lost to Syracuse.
Oh, the big orange.
It was great.
The big orange.
Great win for the orange. 17-point dog, plus 1,200 on the money line. Go into Cameron, unranked team, knock off the number one team in the land. Now, yes, the Blue Devils were not exactly healthy. Jones leaves the game with a shoulder injury. One of their other talented freshmen does not play. He's out due to illness. So it was not a complete Duke team, but right. Barrett and Zion did play. Yeah. Williamson, I believe, ended the game with 35 or 36 points. The Orange win the game. It's a hell of a win for the Syracuse Orange. What a victory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Down in Cameron, great win.
Yeah, I got a chance. I was watching the game, and it was an awesome, awesome victory for sure. The Duke just couldn't hit threes, man. They just couldn't sink threes at all, nothing. And with Jones being out hurt, he got hurt very early in the game, his shoulder. And he's going to be out, and definitely they're saying it's for a little while now. So that could be a problem for Duke because he's a big part of their scoring. He really is. You know, Zion Williamson gets all the hype, but Barrett's a great player, as is Jones. You know, so they got to keep an eye on that. But for the Orange, for Syracuse, this was a big win here. This could really get them rolling. They're 12-5 right now. That kid Battle had 32 points to guard. He played great. So you know. It's good. I was. Who's a roof for an underdog? Unless you went to Duke or a Duke fan, you know they're the number one team in the country, and they're playing an unranked Syracuse team, and Syracuse beats them at home. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, a fantastic win, and then you get the strange photo afterward. Whether or not Jim Boeheim had an accident in his pants, Duke, I don't know if he did.
Yeah.
Wearing the beige trousers as he usually does with the blue sport coat.
You gotta just leak that out there. Sorry for the pun, but you know the thing is, we were during the. My wife, I'll tell you, during the break, we were in the control room, and we were all of us having a little, because we show prep during the breaks, and we were looking at the computer screens.
Yes.
And we were looking at different angles of Boeheim's pants.
It looks like he had a little accident.
It looks like he had a little accident, and we thought right away, is it Photoshop? Maybe he dropped some Gatorade on his crotch.
Oh, it could have been. It could be water.
I mean, you got to at some point change your sweats or put on some shorts.
Not if you're in the heat of the moment in the game, right?
I mean, he's so focused though; he's dialed in. He might have did number one in this.
No, what? That's true. It could have been. Like, it could have been water or Gatorade.
It could have been. Just he's so focused, and meanwhile, he realized he drank a pot of coffee and a gallon of water, and next thing you know, he's doing number one in his pants.
Lemon lime.
Yeah, could have been that
as
well.
Drink tonic water; it'll tighten you up a little bit.
But it was a unbelievable victory for the Orange last night. A great night to be a Syracuse alum. What a night.
Is Boeheim going to have a little...
Great win.
Going to make a statement? Like saying about what
happened? No, he's not going to address that.
I don't think so.
I don't think Jim Boeheim is going to address
that. Maybe he goes commando. Maybe he's not wearing undergarments.
Maybe he's not.
Maybe he goes commando.
Number one.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's funny.
Good job, Pete. Here's Boeheim after the win.
You know, it was obviously a good win. We're very fortunate. You know, some kid banked in a three for us, and then we made a three-quarter court shot. So
75 feet out.
Those things happen once in a while in the game.
Great win. What a win for the Orange.
It was something else. It really was. It was a fun game.
We got a good 1v1 coming your way next. Mahomes and Brady will start to focus in on the AFC Championship game. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welterweight superstars return to the ring when legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao, the Pac-Man, meets 4-time champ Adrian the Problem Broner. Two of the biggest stars in boxing. What explosive fight. Pacquiao versus Broner, Saturday, January 19th. That's this Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. We've got a special 1v1 coming your way. AFC Championship game, going to be an Arctic Blast in Kansas City. Mahomes, Brady, it's going to be a little bit of a series. We're going to throw up a poll.
Yeah.
It's going to be up there. We're going to do the NFC guys as well. And
tomorrow.
Then end up, yes,
tomorrow.
Yes, correct.
So it's a 1v1 series, as you said.
Yes, I just did that, yes.
Good job, Moose.
As I was just trying to explain it, yes. Go ahead, Bogus, take it away.
You want to throw to me too, Taz, or no?
I just wanted to reiterate what Moose said, that's all.
James Harden with 36 points last night in the first half against the Grizzlies. He kept going after intermission.
Back come the Rockets. Harden one-on-one with Green, steps right, shoots for 50. He got it! And the foul on Jamichael Green.
Wow.
A 50-burger plus for James Harden.
Craig Ackerman, Rockets Radio, a season high 57 for Harden in a 112-94 victory. He's now scored at least 30 in 17 in a row, the longest stretch since Wilt's 20 in 1964. Now the bad news for the Rockets. Center Clint Capella expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with ligament damage in his right thumb. Houston already without Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. 46 points and 16 boards for Anthony Davis as the Pelicans outscored the Clippers 121-117. The Jazz down the Pistons 194. And the Hornets beat the Spurs 108-93. Tony Parker, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists in his return to San Antonio. The NBA has cleared the Cavaliers of any wrongdoing in their signing, then releasing of forward Patrick McCaw. The Warriors thought Cleveland and McCaw might have circumvented the CBA by agreeing to an offer sheet that Golden State wouldn't match. Then the Cavs released McCaw after just 3 games before that deal became fully guaranteed. McCaw is now with the Raptors. College Hoops will have a new number one come Monday.
8 on the timer. Howard's going to go now. Howard in the lane. Howard, an awkward shot. Near the rim. Jammed in by Pascal. It's a 4-point lead, 95-91. Kind of an alley-oop just in front of the rim.
There's your boy, Pascal Chukwu. Matt Park on the Syracuse IMG Sports
Rebound
Network.
Jones.
The Orange put in the finishing touches on a 95-91 OT upset of Duke at Cameron. This is the first time the Blue Devils have lost at home as number one to anyone other than North Carolina. 7th-ranked Kansas held off Texas 80-78, and number 19 Maryland top Wisconsin 64-60, but number 11 Florida State surprised at Pitt 75-62. Kyler Murray signed up for the NFL draft before last night's deadline, but the Oakland A's can continue to work on financial incentives to get Murray back to baseball. Gary Kubiak almost became the Broncos' new offensive coordinator. Now he's an offensive advisor with the Vikings. His son, Clint, becomes their QB coach. A quick baseball note. Mel Stottlemyre, who won 5 World Series as pitching coach for the Mets and Yankees, passed away Sunday at 77. Stottlemyre also pitched 11 big league seasons. Off the NHL scoreboard last night, Montreal a 3-2 OT win in Boston. The Avalanche beat the Leafs 6-3, and the Oilers took care of the Sabres 7-2. And Novak Djokovic, Serena and Venus Williams, and top-seeded Simona Halep won their first-round matches at the Australian Open today. Guys?
Oh, thank you, AB.
All right, let's get to it. A little special edition 1v1.
There goes deep left. That ball is high. That is far. That is gone. Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo.
Brady takes the snap. He backs up. A lob toward Gronkowski. Left. Reaches out. Extends. Makes the grab as he dives to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
One versus one. The best versus the best. Taz, Moose, and you decide who is the best of the best. It's now time for 1v1 with Taz and the Moose.
LeBron into the forecourt, in on Ananobi, gets jumped towards the side, banks it up. Oh, he did it again! The LeBron James legend continues!
All right, so there we go. A special edition 1v1 AFC Championship game, the late game Sunday, Taz. It's going to be sweet. Out in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium, Patriots, Kansas City, the old guard, the young Bucks, yeah. Reed trying to out-muster, out-duel Bill Belichick, Mahomes, and Brady. So you got a 1v1 Mahomes and Tom Brady.
It's tough here.
Well, it's interesting because how are you going to approach the 1v1? Because there's a historically speaking, you can't. So I would say you're going to approach it 1v1 just on what we have seen this year.
That's what I'm going to do.
Because otherwise it'd be Brady.
It's unfair. Yeah, you can't even compare.
I mean, there's no argument.
All the years, you know what I mean? No, you're right. Of course.
Yeah. All right. So
you're fit. You're down with that?
I'm good with that.
Mike, you're good with that?
I'm great with
it. Pete, you're good too. So make sure everybody's okay. When it's Connor outside or Mark? No, we're good. Okay. All right. So both these guys, obviously difference in age, but similar in size. They're both around the same height, 6'3", 6'4". They're both around 230 pounds. So they're not little guys, okay? Now, athletically speaking, I would say that. I guess I'm going first.
Yeah,
I would say Mahomes is more athletic.
Who has the bigger reach?
You say reach, you mean to the public or is punching power?
No, punching power.
I would probably say Mahomes. Anyway.
I was like, Larry Merchant. Both men are measuring.
They're similar. I'm going to give you like a tail of tape. I know. You're right. Good point. No, but it's funny. I was looking at, you know, I'm not a stats guy, Moose. You know that. I mean,
yes.
But I was looking at passing yards in career. Oh, in career, again, we know it's unfair. Just for fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes has 5,381 passing yards, where Tom Brady has 70,514. Touchdown passes. Pat Mahomes has 50, as we know. Tom Brady in his career, 517. But again, it's unfair to compare. I'm just saying for something funny, you know?
No, it's just...
It really is.
One guy at the end, one guy at the beginning.
You know, it pains me to say that how much I was heavily leaning towards giving this 1v1 to Tom Brady. Plus, I don't like Brady. You guys know that. I respect the hell out of him, though. I do. The guy just does it over and over and over and over again. He's probably going to do it again this Sunday. But I got to tell you, this kid Mahomes, he's different. He can do things that you've never really seen quarterbacks do, Moose. He makes passes, not just the no-look thing, how he brings a baseball style to his throwing. And you mentioned Dan Quisenberry junking around the other day, the awesome sidearm pitcher back in the day. And that's exactly what it reminds me of. He's throwing the ball around. There's a guard in front of him, his guard, blocking a linebacker or a defensive lineman. And there's a tight end on a route, and he leads the tight end with his pass and throws the ball sidearm. I mean, it's just the kudos to Andy Reid. They let this kid just play. They don't micromanage this kid. They let him ball out, as the kids call it. I got to give this 1v1 to Pat Mahomes.
You're going to give it to Mahomes.
I'm going to give it to Mahomes.
Did you put weather into it or just...
Well, we talked about the weather, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because Brady's...
Did it factor in at all or you just... No.
No, because you know why, bro? This game we saw last week, okay, with the Chiefs, when they just were dominant.
Bad field conditions.
It was bad field. It was cold out. It was windy. I know this week it's going to be even colder.
Yeah.
And Brady, like we said, is much more just accustomed to this for so many years. I do think that's a big factor. I seriously do. But I tell you, it sounds corny, but I really feel like this kid, Mahomes, is different. He's just something about him.
I think he's an instrument of change, is the way that I look at Mahomes. I said a number of weeks ago, I think he's the most gifted thrower of the football in the National Football League. From what we've all witnessed throughout the course of the year, you don't have to run through his gaudy stats of what's going to be his MVP season this year, Taz. And there's a lot of ways you can factor into it, handling pressure. And all of them are going to go Brady's route because he's been there. It's going to be his 39th start in the postseason alone. Patrick Mahomes has started 18 games in his NFL career. They're completely at different opposite ends of their career, and all the stats are going to go Brady's way, handling pressure, handling the cold, game plan, it might factor in and say, well, Belichick's going to outcoach Andy Reid. That might be all well and good. I do think that Mahomes changes, though, because not only his ability to make all the throws, to throw at different arm angles, to throw on the run, to use his athleticism as well, and use his legs. There's nothing on the football field that Patrick Mahomes cannot do. There are no limitations. And that's the rare guy when you find that guy in any sport. There are no limitations to his game. He can do it all. He can run. He can run into the end zone. He can make all the throws. He can throw touch throws. He can throw sidearm. He can throw no-look passes. He can throw the ball 75 yards down the field. Everything is open for Andy Reid as a play caller when Patrick Mahomes is behind center. So for the first time in a while, you and I are going to be in agreement. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes from the Chiefs as well in my 1v1 in the matchup against Tom Brady. Plus, if you look at Brady and his passes against the Chargers, Taz, a lot of them were within 15 yards. He's not pushing the ball down the field.
Right.
And he was very effective, and the game plan was brilliant. And I'm not saying that he's not scoring points against the Chiefs, a game that the Patriots won the regular season 43-40, but there are also limitations to what Brady can do now physically. There are none on Mahomes.
But that's where the coaching comes into play, as you know, like with the way they run that offense. Brady and the offense for the Pats, they chip away at you, and they kill you with time of possession. They kill you with the constant short first downs, Edelman making catches. No one, I don't know why, no one can cover Edelman. I mean, you shouldn't be in the zone anyway, but nobody can cover him. It's like the guy's Jerry Rice, you know. So, but anyway, I got to say, I do think this game is more of Pat Mahomes. It's not Pat Mahomes against Brady. It's not Patrick Mahomes against the Patriot defense. It's Patrick Mahomes against Bill Belichick. That's what no one's saying. And that's what the narrative will be, because it was said first right here on Taz and the Moose. Trust me, all the hacks will come out. This game, Moose, is going to be about Mahomes against Belichick, because Belichick is cooking it up.
Well, we know Belichick's,
you know.
Well, Belichick's also had so much success against quarterbacks making the first start against
this
him
guy's
in the postseason.
Different, right? This guy's different.
But
we agree.
But that's going to be a storyline, because he's had a lot of success and was able to baffle.
But we're set first here, though. Why can't we get the credit? Why can't you give us the credit? We're doing it.
We are doing it. Yes.
Yes,
I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be a huge storyline. I agree with you.
Maybe I'm getting overexcited.
Sorry.
You're being much more chill about it. I'm going crazy.
Mike, take it away.
I get very nuts. I get very crazy here. Hey, Mike, take it away.
All right.
I'm going to go with the
veteran for the Patriots, Tom Brady. I like Brady in big spots. I know Mahomes is excellent, but until I see the Dragon Slayed, I'm sticking with Brady. I trust him. And if he feels like he's motivated and he wants to play this underdog card.
Oh.
I'll give it to Brady all day.
All right, so you're going to go with Tom Brady over Mahomes.
TB12.
Okay, good
job. Until Patrick, I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL today, so I'm going with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I think he's the guy that will slay the dragon and slay Tom Brady.
So it's 3-1 in favor of Mahomes.
Well, it's, again.
Chiefs are a 3-point favorite in the game. 3 or 3.5?
Don't ask Mike.
I think it's 3. No, I think the other spread is 3.5. I think the Rams are 3.5.
Pat Mahomes against Belichick.
Shows a very close games.
You know, the defense, too. You got a different defense. You got Brady going against lesser defense, as opposed to Mahomes going against a better defense with better scheming by the greatest defensive mind arguably ever in Belichick.
I want to hear from you. What's your 1v1? We're going to throw a poll up there as well. Head to our head to Twitter, at Taz of the Moose. Brady against Mahomes. We'll get into the NFC Championship game combatants tomorrow, which is going to be a good one. Goff and Drew Brees. And we'll do a special 1v1 on that. But want to hear from you. Hit us up at Taz the Moose. Number to call 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We've got the undercard that comes your way next on a Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now. at geico.com. We interviewed former Rams GM and current Atlanta GM in the Alliance for American Football, which is 25 days away. Think about that, from getting going. Billy Devaney. And it was a great interview earlier on the show, top of the second hour. You can download the podcast to check out that interview. Had some good stuff on Kyler Murray. Good insight on the AFC and NFC championship games as well, Taz. So
yes.
Download the podcast, radio.com, yes. And Apple Podcasts. Two ways you can about doing that.
And you can download the Taz and Moose podcast every day. We tell you guys all the time. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just download it at radio.com or Apple Podcasts. Catch up to what you miss. It's a three-hour program every day. And while you're downloading podcasts, if you happen to be a grappling fan or a wrestling fan,
yeah,
the Taz Show might be a choice that you grab. Just dropped a new pod yesterday. I let Moose hear a little private sound of it. It's explicit.
Yeah.
And I was talking to the audience.
Not for the seven-year-old out there.
No, it's not. But yeah, you should listen to it. I talk a lot about all the stuff with the AEW and all this other stuff that's going on. And
do a great job.
WWE stuff.
Good listen.
Yeah, you know,
I'm very, very good listen.
Close to around 660 episodes, but I'm not bragging.
Who's counting?
Yeah, not me.
Of course not. No. We got somebody that counts for you.
Yeah.
Let's get to the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mikey.
Last night, James Harden dropped 57 points, helping the Rockets win. He's now had 17 consecutive games with at least 30 points. Is this an incredible stat or just part of today's modern NBA?
I think it's a crazy stat to be that consistent. I was wrong last week. I said we had the conversation in the undercard, Taz, who would be the MVP of the league right now? And I said Giannis. I think it's going to be Harden.
I think so, too.
I think what he's doing. Listen, it's more of an offensive league. We know that. What you do defensively and how they've adjusted those rules. But to have the pressure that he has on him every single night and to perform, Taz, it's remarkable.
He really is.
He's a great player.
And I think he had like 9 or 10 rebounds, too, in the game, which is, you know, impressive, too. Yeah, he is a great player. He's amazing. And, you know, Kawhi also, good year and all that stuff. But you're right. I think Harden's the guy. I mean, it's amazing. Mike, I get your question. I get your point about today's NBA. Yeah, there's a lot of points being scored, hence why it's so much fun watching the NBA. And how about your Nets, dude? Man, look at them, man. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah, they're doing the best they've done in 7 years.
He must be, and he's so humble about it, Moose. Like, you know, Mike won't brag. You know, he won't. That's not how he is.
He's excited.
He is.
They are a team under 500. So I know.
Seventh in the East.
Seventh in the East at 22-23. But they have as many wins today as they did March 17th.
Yeah. So I'm just saying they beat the Celtics yesterday. People were chanting. What they were chanting? Kyrie's leaving.
Yes. They've got issues up in Boston. But, yes, the Nets are playing awfully well. All
22
right.
and 23.
Next.
Speaking of Kyrie and the Celtics, he had some questionable comments to the media about his teammates, the team struggling. He said they lost to the Nets yesterday. They're 25-18. They're the 5 seed. With all the talent they have, would you believe they're the most underachieving team in the NBA right now?
I would think so. I mean, I think there was a plethora of high hopes for these guys going into the season with Tatum and Brown and stuff, and obviously, you know, I would definitely think so. I would think they're, I don't know about you, Moose, but I would definitely think so. Underachieving, yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, where Taz, we talked about the Celtics being a championship-caliber team.
I know.
And they played nothing like it. Now you can get on the head coach. You could certainly look at, and chemistry is of big-time importance. And the lack of chemistry that's going on up there in Boston so far this year, they've got time to figure it out, but we keep on waiting. When are they going to turn a corner? When are they going to turn the corner? They're too talented to be this. They're too good. There's too much skill on that roster to be this. And that's where Brad Stevens has got to get back to work and figure out something, some way, Taz, to make this work, because right now it ain't working.
No, it's not. They're fifth in the East, and my Sixers are right above them at fourth, and they're not exactly doing amazing either. But, Boston definitely, you're right. We did talk about them going all the way to the big dance at the end. This was months ago, but I don't know about that now. They got a lot of fixing to do, my friends.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on this. Number one is Hayward last year wasn't there. We know that, right? So they had to bring Hayward into the mix. And then there's this, there's this constant drone of the Anthony Davis trade rumors to the point where Jason Tatum a week ago said, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I got traded, in a package where Anthony Davis came back. And we know how good Tatum has been in a year plus in a Celtic uniform. But that also does not help your team that you're asking to be all in when you're trying to reinstall a guy in that, in essence, is playing his first year in a Celtic uniform in Hayward, who has not played particularly well. And then you're looking at Tatum, who's looking over his shoulder with the thought of maybe Anthony Davis coming to Boston.
Yeah, and correct. And Tatum, who's just a young, bright star in all this jazz on your club, and he's saying this stuff publicly. That's just a bad look, man. It's just a bad vibe for the whole organization. It really is.
And then you get the Irving contract scenario after the season.
Yeah. Which he's going to leave. Yeah.
Right. Well, correct. So
yeah, it's the NBA, baby.
It is. Drama, drama, drama. And Biseglia loves it.
It's like this show.
Oh,
this is like this drama.
That is.
All the behind the scenes stuff on the show.
Right.
It's insane.
We usually. it
really is.
We are like the Celtics. So it usually starts off at like a high point. Then we'll take into a dramatic dip in which it looks like it'll turn for the worst. Then it always turns for the best.
You think we're like the Celtics?
I don't know.
I'm joking. I think we're like the Lakers. Mike, what do you think? Who are we like this show?
I'm really thinking about this hard.
Pete, what do you any ideas?
Maybe we should put a poll out.
We need a couple days to think about that.
I need a couple of days.
Pete needs more than just a hot tea.
Maybe
he's thinking about this.
Pete needs a stiff drink. He was eating goldfish. That's a whole other story. No, but here's the thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not the Lakers. Maybe we're not like the Lakers on this show. We're not the Raptors. They're in first place.
No, we're doing great.
No, we're
don't
doing
be
awesome.
Like that. We're doing fantastic.
No, but there's a lot of drama. The Raptors don't have drama.
No,
we have drama here. Nah, there's drama.
There is.
There's drama. We're the Golden State Warriors. Bro, we're the Golden State Warriors.
There you go.
We're the Golden State Warriors.
That nice. There you
we
go.
Are. Moose, we are. Mike, Golden State, what do you think?
Golden State last year.
All right, we're the Golden State Warriors from last year.
That's a good one.
So who's who now?
Pete's Boogie Cousins.
All right, Pete's Boogie. I had a feeling you were going to say that. How's the Achilles? All right, so Pete's Boogie. Mike, who are you?
I'm Andre Iguodala.
No, I don't think you're. I think you're.
I've always wanted to say that.
Draymond Green?
No, he's not Draymond. He's.
Sean Livingston.
No, I'm going to give you more credit than that. I think, you know, because of your size or lack thereof.
Clay?
Yeah. No,
no,
not Clay.
Steph Curry?
No, he's Steph Curry. Yeah, he's okay. 6'3", 190-ish. That's not really Mike, but DeMarcus Cousins is as we know, Pete the Body.
It's me.
So it comes down to, I think, Moose, you would be KD. I'll give you that. You could be KD. And I'll be Draymond Green, the guy who causes all the problems, and everybody wants
fair.
To fight him, and he wants to fight everyone. Mike goes, that's fair.
That works.
No one's complaining. It's not that funny. I know where you live. So I'm Draymond. It's unbelievable.
I'm not what?
So it's better.
You gotta work on your
you
jumper
gave yourself
tail.
Draymond Green. It's not like we had a vote. You're like, you I'll got, be Draymond.
Because you guys were going to say that I'm Draymond.
No, I
knew
not.
It. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to take Durant.
No. I'll give you Durant. Otherwise, forget it. Oh, I wanted you to be like, I want to be KD, Dash.
Can we all go to the Hamptons together?
Yeah, we'll all go to the Hamptons together. We'll invite Kyrie.
Right.
Imagine that phone call. Taz, I really wanted to be Kevin Durant. In our imaginary team comparison to the Golden State Warriors.
So you're KD, you're Kevin Durant.
Thank you, Taz.
And I'll be Draymond Green.
All right.
I'm just playing defense.
Bogut is Andrew Bogut before he got hurt.
Andrew.
Oh, that's right.
No, he's. No, who is Bogut? I didn't think
he's
of that.
Bogut.
Sean Livingston.
Sean Livingston? Or Kevin Looney?
No, someone's got to be Klay Thompson.
Not him.
Not
Bogut.
No.
All
right.
Want me to be Clay?
No.
You like you be Draymond. You're fantastic. Go do commercials about teeth.
No.
About your braces. Invisalign Jones.
You're doing Invisalign now?
No, not me. Draymond is.
Oh, he is
does
he? Really?
Yeah. He does it with his mom.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Bilotti, good job. Biseglia, good job. I didn't pick up on that. Invisalign,
yeah,
solid product, good company.
Stuff. Yeah, my son
Bogut.
Had it. All right, guys, good job.
Taz.
Bye-bye.
We out. Peace.
Bye-bye.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.